A man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus,
Lord, the one you love is sick.
When he heard this, Jesus said,
This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples,
Let us go back to Judea.
But Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there.
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.
Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.
Jesus had been speaking of Lazarus' death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep, so Jesus told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.
Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples,
Let us also go, that we may die with him.
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.
Your brother will rise again.
I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.
After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
The teacher is here and is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
Where have you laid him?
Come and see, Lord.
Jesus wept.
See how he loved him.
But some of them said,
Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
Take away the stone.
But Lord, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said,
Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out!
The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face.
Take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had just seen what Jesus did put their faith in him.
Lord Jesus, you've made an amazing promise to be the resurrection and the life. Please help us to understand that. And please help us, like Martha and Mary, to believe in you, and so to know the comfort and hope that only Easter can bring us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Well, happy Easter to you. It's lovely to welcome you here to St. John's this morning. If you are joining us somewhere where you normally would speak a different language, you can use the Microsoft Translator app. There's the code on there. I know we have at least one person joining us from Russia. Who knows who's found the YouTube stream by now, but others, if that's helpful to you, do go to that. We've had our Bible reading. We're now going to be thinking about those words of Jesus. That's one of his most famous promises. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. My purpose this morning in the next 10 minutes or so is just with God's help to write those words on your heart. Some of you, I'm sure, know those words already. My hope and prayer is that every one of you will know these words, not only to be able to recite them, but to know them deeply within. And so I'm going to ask us to all join together and say that promise of Jesus that's on the screen, beginning with I am. So all together, 3, 2, 1. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Well, now let's try and understand that. And to do it, what I'm going to do, James should be somewhere around. He's going to be running around with a microphone for me. I'm going to ask you just to do two things. I'd like you to turn to someone next to you. Now, it could be someone you've come with. That's fine. If you're feeling brave, maybe turn to someone that you don't know. And there are lots of people here this morning who are visiting us, and you're so welcome, and we're so glad that you're here. If, on the other hand, actually, you don't really want to talk to anybody, then can I encourage, and that's okay too, because I know some of you really don't like this sort of thing, then just put your head down a little bit and be kind to the people around you who've got their heads down at this point, and don't poke them and say, it's time for you to do what you're told. So try and be brave. Talk to someone next to you. As I say, even someone you don't know, that would be even better. And there are two things I want you to do. I want you to find out that person's name, and I'd like them to tell you something that they would like you to know about them. So a name and something interesting about them. So if one of you was introducing me, you might say, well, he's Mike, and you know what? He's Australian, because you didn't know I was Australian, did you? No, of course not, because I haven't mentioned it every week for the last 23 years. So there we go, our name and something that you'd like the person to know about you. And then James is going to come round in a bit when you've had a minute or two to do that, and I'm going to ask you to introduce the person that you've been talking to. You're not talking about yourself. You've got to introduce the person you're talking to. So go, conversation. Okay, I've given you 1 minute. That should be enough to hopefully get a name and something interesting about the person you're talking to. I did assembly this week with a very bubbly year 5 and 6. It's a bit like that, which is lovely. So it's so great here. I love to hear that hubbub. You're all talking to each other. Don't rush away at the end of the service. Stay and continue those conversations over coffee. But now, who'd like to volunteer to introduce the person they were talking to? There we go, down there. Oliver's hand is up straight away. So so tell us, who were you talking to, Oliver? I want a name and something interesting.
I was talking to Anne, and she said that something that I didn't know about her was that she was getting married this year.
There you go. Wonderful. Thank you, Oliver. Well done. Yes, I did wonder if that might be the fact, looking at the beaming smile on the bride-to-be. Thank you, Anne, for sharing that with Oliver. Right, someone else? I'll pick on you otherwise. Yes, Neil.
I'm sitting next to Neris and Kerry, who are, I think, Welsh royalty. Their name is Tudor.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much indeed. We didn't know that. That's wonderful. Right, here we are. Someone on this side. Yes, over there. Oh, yes, there we go. Rush over that side. You might have to pass the microphone down to Annabelle.
Well, I want to introduce Merrick, who's come from California. He arrived yesterday.
Excellent.
And well, it's his second Easter Sunday with us.
Right. Well, welcome, Merrick. I shall restrain my American jokes for this morning just because you're here. That's marvellous. Thank you very much indeed. Now, there was one or two more. This is lovely. So we've got down the front here. Oh, yes. Oh, there we are. Go to Graham and then to Debbie. And that will do us for this part, because we don't want your roast dinner to catch fire. Yes, Graham.
Hi. I was talking to Tim, and he likes a curry.
Well, Tim's clearly a very wise man, because who doesn't like a curry? Right, that wasn't the poll. Debbie?
I've just been chatting to Gwenda, and Gwenda is Welsh, and she's been brought up in the Welsh Church, but she's recently moved in the area to stay with her daughter.
Wonderful. Well, welcome, Gwenda. And so we've got Welsh, we've got Californians, we've got people from everywhere. It's wonderful. And Australians, did I mention that? So, here we go. It's really important, isn't it? If you want to know someone, need to know their name, and need to know something about them. Well, that's what John is doing with Jesus. That's why he writes his book. We call it a gospel. That's why he tells the story of what he saw and heard, because he wants us to know this man Jesus. And Jesus says something quite strange. He says, "I am the life." Well, that's odd, isn't it? He didn't say, "I am Jesus." He said, "I am the life." That's part of what he said, and we're going to come to the other part a little bit later. And when Jesus said that, even the very way that he started the sentence, if I say, "I am Mike," I'm not making any grand claims. When Jesus says, "I am the life," and we know this especially because of the way that John records the number of times that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, and so on. When he says, "I am the life," in this one, he's saying the same thing twice. A little bit later, a little bit earlier in John's gospel, Jesus is talking to some religious leaders, and he says to them, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Does anyone know how many years before Jesus was born Abraham lived? I'll have a hand up. Go on, like we're in school. Hand up. How long before Jesus lived? Yes? About, yeah, 2,500 years, something like that. So Abraham lived as long before Jesus as we live after Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." That's amazing, isn't it? That can only be true if Jesus really is life. If he really is God, the very source of life. And when Jesus says, "I am," he's quoting from what God had said to Moses hundreds of years before at the burning bush. Moses had said, "Who shall I say has given me the message?" And God says, "This is what you're to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." So Jesus is the life. Jesus is life. Jesus is I am. He is the one who's brought the universe into being and put you on it, and sustains everything and everyone and all of history and all of the cosmos from the beginning until now until the end of time. Wow. Jesus' name is I am. He is life. Now, I asked you to tell me something interesting about you. We've got people from Wales and people who love curry and all the different things that make us special. Well, what makes Jesus special? Because he is the living one, is, in his words, "Whoever lives and believes in me," that is, whoever lives by believing in me, "will never die." Now, that's an amazing promise, because Jesus is saying this to some people who've just lost their brother. He's saying it as he's about to go to a grave with a dead body inside. We say his words every time we have a funeral service here. "I am the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Now, the reason that Jesus says that is because what he means is that when we come to know him who is life, well, then we will know him forever. We can know him now, and we will know him after death as well, and we'll come on to think about that in a moment. But when you know life, then life is always with you. And when the end of our human lives comes and we close our eyes in this world, we'll wake up in his presence. No, we will never truly die when we know him who is life. Jesus said eternal life is this, that they may know you, as he was praying to his Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. "I'm life," says Jesus, and that means I'm with you, and you'll always be with me, and I'll never leave you in this world or the next. Now, James, you still got your microphone? I'd like you to just have a think for a moment about what makes you sad, and we'll take some answers about this. What kind of thing makes you sat. Put your hands up if you'd like to give me an answer to that question. Yes.
Losing an hour of sleep last night.
It's good to start small, isn't it? Yeah. Trust me, if you'd been at the 8 o'clock service this morning, as I was, and as James was, you'd feel that even more keenly. So, yes, that's the little things in life that make us sad. Yes, I can't see.
When we drew, we dreamt of Scotland.
When you drew, is that in a football match?
Yeah.
And you wanted to win. Yeah, no, defeat makes us sad, doesn't it? Especially with a team you love. It's terrible when Australia's ever beaten by the English. So I get very sad at that point. Yes, go on.
When teachers give us homework.
Oh, imagine that. Teachers giving homework. Whatever next. Right, okay. What other kind of things make us sad? These are good answers. Yes, Angie?
When a friend dies.
When a friend dies. Absolutely. That's the saddest thing of all, isn't it? But actually, it's really good. Oh, go on, Rosalind's got an answer as well, and then we'll stop with those then.
The state of the Church of England.
The state of the Church of England. We're not going there this morning, Rosalind. It's the day of the resurrection, and we want to be full of joy, so we're not thinking about the Church of England. No, what we're thinking about is Jesus, who is life and who is with us. And you know, one of the amazing things about the story in John chapter 11 that we're thinking about this morning is here is Jesus, and before he brings Lazarus back from the dead, he wept with those who were sad. There are all sorts of things that make us sad. Some trivial things in life, with due respect, I think an hour's sleep is in that list. All the way through to some bigger things. We're struggling at work. We've got a tough time in the family. We get illness. And then, of course, comes death. And all of us are going to die. We know that's inevitable. One out of one people will die. And here is Jesus, who is life, weeping with those who mourn. We laid to final rest yesterday our friend Ruth in the churchyard here. And many of you knew and loved her as well. And we read these words of Jesus. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And some of us were weeping. And that's okay. Because Jesus, the living one, weeps with us. He's alive. He's with us. He's with us when we lose our mum. He's with us when we lose our friend. He's with us when the diagnosis is bad. He's alongside. He weeps in our sadness. What about this one? What makes you mad? What makes you angry? James, you need to get on your feet again, wherever you are. What makes you super angry? Like my friend on the screen. I'll have a hand or two. Yes? Go on. No, go on around here.
When I don't have any homework, but my parents still give me homework.
Well, I think a quick round of applause for your parents, I think, on that one. That's very good. What a marvellous parents you have. I'll get their phone number afterwards. Yes, that can make us angry. Now, it's interesting that sometimes when we get angry, maybe it's not for brilliant reasons. Actually, somebody else might have a really good plan for our life, like doing a bit more homework. And we resent that because we'd rather be on the Xbox or something. What other kind of things make us angry? Debbie again?
Injustice.
Injustice. Absolutely. When something is just not right, when someone's being mistreated, or we see it in a nation, that makes us angry. And that's right to get angry, isn't it, in those circumstances? What else makes us angry? Yeah.
People antagonizing us.
People antagonizing us. Absolutely. They wind us up, and they know just how to get under our skin, don't they? Take one more. Chris.
Anti-Christian government policies.
Yes. Okay. We can put that under injustice, I think, can't we? Anti-Christian government policies. Well, there you go. There's lots of things to make us angry. Sometimes we get angry because I don't get my way, and that just makes me mad. And other times we get angry because it's really wrong what's happening. But you know, in this passage, John tells us twice, in fact, that Jesus gets angry. We don't quite get it in the translation we use, but Jesus says this: when he sees Mary weeping, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Why do you think Jesus was angry? Anyone? Do you think he was angry with Mary for being upset that her brother had died? Of course not. Jesus was angry at death. Jesus was angry. He was livid. He was outraged because death had destroyed what God had made to be good. Jesus is angry at the mess the world is in, angry at injustice, angry because we have so turned away from the God who made us that we've lost that life of blessing and peace and life itself that he made us to enjoy. That when Jesus comes into the world and he's face to face with death, he's not angry with people who are sad. He's not angry with us who are broken in this world. But he's angry with death and the destruction that it's brought to our lives. He's angry enough to do something about it. I hope when you get angry at injustice, you do something about it. Do you write a letter to your member of parliament? Do you go and stand up for the person who is being wrongly treated? I hope you do. That's a good use of anger. And when Jesus is angry with death, he deals with death. And we can trust this God who is with us always, in our anger, in our sadness, and he will overcome. And he will bring the victory. Right, there's another couple of questions I want you to talk about in pairs now. This is two questions. Something I need to do, something I have to do in my life, and then something I love to do. So something I need to do and something I love to do. There we go. Maybe talk to the same person again. I'll give you another minute, and we'll come back and think of that in a moment. Right, I'm not going to give you as long for that one. So let me just draw you to a close there. And we'll take some hands up. So two things. Again, not about yourself, remember, but about the person you're talking to. Tell me something they have to do, they need to do, and something that they love to do. Hands up. Who'd like to tell me? Perhaps somebody didn't give me an answer before. Yes, Michael.
Yes, my friend here needs to get a job. It's absolutely urgent.
Yes.
And he's had an interview, but that's what he needs to do.
Okay, thank you, Michael. What about something he loves to do? Do not get that far.
I think.
No, that's okay.
We didn't get that far.
That's okay. That's all right. No, but we recognize, don't we, these are two different things. The things we have to do, the things we love to do. Okay, someone else. I'll take one more and answer from anywhere in the room. Yes, over. You're behind a pillar. I'm so sorry over there, and that's why I can't see you. We should take the pillars down,
school,
and then the roof might fall
and
in.
I have to do school, yeah. And I love to do is stroke my cats.
Oh, that's a lovely answer. Oh, that's a beautiful answer. Yes, you have to go to school, but you love to stroke your cats. I think there's some people in our house who would say that as well. We know that feeling, don't we? There are things we have to get out of bed on a Monday morning to do. It's go to school, go to work, try and get a job to do. And there are things we love to do. Stroke our cats. Go fishing on Bud's Beach, in case you're wondering where that picture is on the screen. And do you know the wonderful thing about Jesus? The wonderful thing about Jesus is that the thing that he has to do and the thing that he loves to do are exactly the same. Jesus said to his Father, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He says elsewhere that the Son of Man, talking about himself, has to die, has to go to Jerusalem to be rejected and beaten and crucified. He has to do this. And yet he delights to do it because he's doing it out of love for his Father and out of love for us, the very ones who chased him to the cross, the very ones whose own rebellion against God made the cross necessary. Jesus' work is what he loves to do and what he has to do. And when he's there on that cross on Good Friday, he says, it is finished. The work is completed. And that means that Easter Sunday can come. For, as he says elsewhere, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So just as Jesus was raised physically and eternally out of his grave on Easter morning, his promise is that you will be as well. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to me, Jesus says, will rise up out of their graves. And that's what he means in the other half of that great promise. He says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is in the future for us. It happened in the past for Jesus. But I am the resurrection, he says, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Of course we're going to die. That day will come. There'll be a funeral. But one day when Jesus comes again, at the renewal of all things, then every eye will see that he is the resurrection. And that when we've believed in him, well, that graveyard outside is going to be a busy place. Because all those dead bodies are going to rise up for the judgment day. And those who've looked to Christ will rise in bodies that will never again wear out. Never go to hospital, never get cancer, never have to go to another funeral. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Friends, can you see how those are two wonderful but different things? Jesus is life, and that means he's with us. He's with us as we weep and as we get frustrated and angry. He's with us every step of the way. We'll never die once we know him. But yet we will die. And after that, what? I'm the resurrection, he says. Trust me, you'll live, you'll rise, you'll reign for all eternity in a new heavens and a new earth. He says that to Martha, the tears on her cheeks, her brother in the grave. And he says to her, do you believe this? I say it to you as well, because I know some of you are really going through it at the moment. Like Martha, this is not a good time for you. Others, perhaps, things are going swimmingly. It's always a good time to consider your answer to this question. Because if they're going well now, just live a little longer and they'll stop going well. That's the nature of life in this world. Do you believe this? Jesus says. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? And Martha says, yes. I believe that you are the promised King, the Messiah, the Son of God who was to come into this world. That's all we have to do. We're weak and we're hopeless. But when we trust him, we find him, he's everything that we could ever desire and will ever need. Because he's life and he's resurrection and he's for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, some of us here this morning have broken hearts. Loved ones have died. Our own future is difficult. The world is not as it should be. I pray for our friend who needs a job, that, Lord, you might open the door for him. And we lift to you everything that makes us weep and that makes us angry, especially death. And we come to you, Lord Jesus, for no one else has the words of eternal life. And maybe for some of us, for the first time this morning, we want to say to you, Lord Jesus, yes, I believe. Please, would you write these words on our hearts? Now and always. Amen.